I invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30, reading verses 18 through 26. If you don't have a Bible with you and wish to follow along, in the Pew Bible, it's page 611. Isaiah 30, 18 through 26. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show mercy to you, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Truly, O people in Zion, inhabitants of Jerusalem, you shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Though the Lord may give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself any more, but your eyes shall see your teacher. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Then you will defile your silver-covered idols and your gold-plated images. You will scatter them like filthy rags. You will say to them, "Away with you." He will give rain for the seed with which you sow the ground, and grain, the produce of the ground, which will be rich and plenteous. On that day your cattle will graze in broad pastures, and the oxen and donkeys that till the ground will eat silage, which has been winnowed with shovel and fork. On every lofty mountain and every high hill there will be brooks running with water on a day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold like the light of 7 days on the day when the Lord binds up the injuries of his people and heals the wounds inflicted by his blow. Here we are a week after Easter. We are still in that Easter season, that 40-day period after Passover, in which Jesus continues to appear to his disciples and to others to teach them, to heal them, to help them, to continue to call to them to come this way, to follow this way. Have you ever been lost and wondered which direction to go? I actually will stop and ask directions. I know most men don't do that. But I would rather do that than hear, "Well, you know, if you'd stopped and asked directions." I learned early. But also, I remember being, years ago, we were at the beach, and we went to one of those mazes that was the big thing, made out of lumber, these big, tall, 10, 12-foot walls, etc. And they gave you some instructions, but then you had to figure your way out through the maze, trying to beat a time, because they'd post the fastest time up there. And of course, some of us are slightly competitive and had to do everything they could to beat that time. But you could hear people yelling to each other, "Come this way," or, "Let's go this way, I think we'll get there." "Oh no, let's go that way." People getting lost and calling to each other to come this way, trying to help. And of course, after I got out, I went up and stood up top to see if I could see other family members and etc. who were not out yet, and tried to give them instructions on, "No, go this way or go that way, or when you get down there, hang a right and then a quick left." Trying to give instruction to guide them out of that sense of being lost. There were people who were actually out there screaming with panic because they had been there for a while. Or it's almost like a man who went walking through some caverns, and he went by himself, which is not a smart thing to do. And after being in there for a while, he started talking to himself. "Well, I know I came this way. Well, maybe I went that way, or maybe I should go back this way." And he kept wandering around. And after 2 or 3 hours, he heard a voice. And the voice said, "Come this way." And so he started walking. He said, "Well, I'm looking for you. Where are you?" He said, "Well, come on this way." And he went around two or three more turns, and finally he came upon a person who was sitting in a larger cavern. And the person said, "Boy, I sure am glad you came over this way and you listened to me." He said, "Well, what's wrong?" He said, "Well, I'm lost and I've been in here for several hours and I don't know the way out." The guy said, "Well, why did you call me?" He said, "Well, I heard your voice saying something about going this way, so I thought maybe you could lead me out." Not exactly the best situation in which you want to find yourself. Lost with somebody else who doesn't know their way either. You know, we have lots of voices that clamor for our attention these days, that call out to us, "Come this way, do this, do that." Politicians, news media, preachers, friends, movies, commercials, cell phones, Facebook, Twitter. I don't know how to tweet, so I just know that people use that thing called Twitter. And others, that all of these different voices call, "Come this way, come that way." It's almost such a cacophony of noises and different ideas that we have a difficult time sometimes even hearing God and finding out where God would like for us to be. Well, Israel was in a similar situation. Israel, for much of its history, and especially during the time in Isaiah's early ministry, Israel had often heard many different voices calling them in different directions. That passage of Scripture from Isaiah that we generally read around Christmas time about a virgin conceiving and bearing a son and calling his name Emmanuel. Isaiah was talking at that point to King Ahaz, who had listened to the voices of the enemies, in particular the Assyrians. And Isaiah said, "No, God wants you to come this way. Don't listen to those voices, listen to God." And so we find, once again, Israel has been in that kind of situation. Some had heard voices from God and some from others drawing them away from God. And in the particular passage under consideration today, God calls Israel, or more specifically, Judah, the southern part of the kingdom, to follow Him, and promises that if they will stop listening to the other voices that are taking them away from God, that He will bring them His power. He will lead them in the directions that they need to go. He will correct their wrongs and heal and bind their wounds. Now, the preceding section, if you go back and read it, and the section that follows, speak of anger and punishment because the people haven't listened. But in the middle of these passages about anger and punishment, we find a promise of grace and mercy, a promise of salvation from both their enemies outside and from themselves, the enemies that are inside of them, their own sins. And God says that despite their repeated sins, He wishes to save them with His mercy. He does indicate that their guilt will bring punishment, but then He says that He is a just God, a God of justice, and waits for them to hear and repent so that He can bring them His grace. The phrase that we read a few moments ago, "The Lord is a God of justice," and some translations say a God of judgment, doesn't speak of doom. It doesn't speak of wrath. It doesn't speak of God coming around with a big hickory switch and using it over and over again. Rather, what it says is God continues to be just, not capriciously angry, that God has put certain laws and expectations in place which He knows are best for us. And because He is a God of justice, He justly brings mercy to those who wait patiently for His grace, who wait patiently for His call, and then who follow that call. God's timing is that of omniscience and love. Sometimes we have delayed hopes and dreams, right? Have you ever had hopes and dreams and then wondered why they weren't coming to fruition in spite of everything that you were doing to get there? Sometimes those delayed hopes we have just may be delayed because of God's self-imposed delay found in His wisdom and love. One commentator writes that God, and I quote, "With yearning for our redemption, must sometimes needs wait that He may be gracious unto us." End of quote. Yet more times than not, it is not God that delays those hopes and dreams. We are the ones who cause the delays, and God waits for us to come to ourselves, realizing our need to call upon God, and then opening our ears to hear. Grace may not come in the present, but in the future, because our priorities are not yet straight. And yet God promises that grace to those who will hear His call that says, "Come this way. This is the way to go. Walk in it." How often do we look upon God's gifts of grace only without realizing that sometimes the afflictions are ways that we learn as well? We often don't think of affliction or trial as a means of God's grace. But we have a God who lives and gives grace even through the trial, even through the affliction. Sometimes these afflictions are meant to lead us from our idols, as he mentions here later, for them to get rid of those idols that we know Israel had among themselves. And I'm not just talking about the American show, but other idols that we might have. From following the voices which call us away from God. Yet God promises here to remain present even when we are not listening. He promises not to be far away so that we may truly find Him, because He has already found us. He promises to remain present as our teacher. Hebrew word is moreh. To direct us along the pathway. And it's really kind of unusual to use this word of God. It's a term that is very rarely used for God, because it's generally used of the prophets that bring God's message. But the usage here indicates God's continuous presence, God's continuous desire for us to see Him and hear Him throughout life, in many and varied places and many and varied ways. To find that when we stray, if we truly open our hearts and our minds, God's voice will call in our ears, "This is the way. Walk in it." Of course, then we have to, as I said to the children earlier, we have to respond. And we have to ask God to continue to lead us. Now, sometimes God's guidance seems very obvious. But sometimes it's not all that obvious. We must seek to hear, to have hearing ears and a responsive spirit. Simply to hear is not enough. We have to also respond. You know, Jesus in His parables would often begin and end the parable by saying, "Akouete," listen. Imperative form of hear. In other words, pay attention. Don't just kind of let it go in one ear and out the other. In the book of Revelation, the letters to the seven churches end, "Let him who has ears to hear, hear." That is, truly listen and pay attention. to find God's voice in the middle of all the other voices that call to us, especially in our postmodern age. We have to open our minds, which help us to see God's guideposts, sometimes in nature, in the Bible, in life, in the words of Jesus, in the lives of other Christians, and even in that still, small voice in the silence. When we hear and truly listen, we are to respond by working to remove those things that separate us from God, or those things that lead us away from God. They are to be treated as unclean and put away from life. It's interesting when we read here that says away, or some translations say, the text says, get rid of these idols and say, be gone. It is a play on words in the Hebrew. It's a term that means both be gone and, quite frankly, it means excrement, which we don't want to be around, right? It's the same root word. But what it does, it sullies us, it dirties us, it drags us down when we allow these other voices to call us and lead us away from God. But God promises to bring blessing to those who obey His call. Rain for the seed that is sown. Not scattered showers, but sufficient rain. I've told some of you before, when I was in seminary, working on my first master's degree, we were a bunch of us were sitting around in the student center, and some of us were waiting our turn to get to the pool table. Some very good pool shooters came out of Southern Baptist seminaries. And some of us were talking, and one of the guys who was pastoring a small church in the country was very seriously, as we were talking, he said, I really need to know what to do. I don't know how to pray. And somebody looked at him and said, you don't know how to pray? And he said, no, what I mean is, I serve an agricultural community. Most of my church members are farmers. And this is the time of the year where they use different chemicals. And I've got one farmer living a short distance from the church who says, preacher, I need rain. My corn's not doing so good. Please pray that it'll rain. And I go half a mile down the road and I've got a tobacco farmer that says, preacher, we just sprayed the chemicals on the tobacco. Pray that it doesn't rain. He said, what am I supposed to do? Somebody beat me to the punch. Larry Crowe beat me to the punch and said, you ever heard of praying for scattered showers? Of course, sometimes I think if I prayed for them, the guy who needed the rain wouldn't get it, and the guy who didn't need it would, and there'd still be scattered showers. But God promises not just scattered showers, but showers of plenty. We even sing about that sometimes, don't we? Showers of blessing. Look for the showers we plead. The silage that the animals, the beasts of burden, would eat is really salted provender. What that means is the good grain that has been mixed with water and salt, kind of like a meal or a mash for the animals to eat. Not just the leftover grain, but God's blessings will be so great that you can share the good with even those who don't normally get the good when you come this way. And those who suffered but came back to God will find God as their great physician, bandaging their wounds, bringing healing. But not everyone will share in those blessings. Only those who have open ears, open hearts, open minds, who hear that call to walk this way, and who then follow, will find the light for the pathway of life to God. A light that will be so blinding and searing that we can't help but know the way. God later brings to our world that light in Jesus of Nazareth. And yet sometimes we turn our backs and we fail to hear His voice. So the question for you and me today is, what voices are calling us? Do they lead us away from God and God's grace? Or do those voices call us into a deeper relationship, calling us to listen to the voice of God, a voice calling and teaching us to come this way so that we too may find healing for all the wounds that we have had, healing that then allows us to reach out, to touch with hands and hearts of healing as well. God calls and says, come this way. What is our response? May we pray. Our most gracious God, we thank You that You do not give up on us. We thank You that You continue to walk with us, calling, sometimes in a still small voice, sometimes through the storm. Help us to have open ears, open hearts, and open minds, that we will not only find Your grace, but we will be so changed by it that we will give Your grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is hymn number 368, He Lives. As we sing, and as TJ comes to lead us, our altar is open for any decision that you might make. Hymn number 368, He Lives.